Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
11 o'clock, hour number two of Show and Vern. I am your host, Ron the Show Hughley, and my partner in crime, Joshua Lamont Vernier. He is out, folks, out until next Tuesday. It is raining here, but he is in beautiful Maui for his honeymoon. We hope him and his beautiful wife are having a great time, but he will be back next Tuesday, so he is out. Steven Serta is producing this bad boy, of course. Remember, you are listening to the fastest growing, or the fastest, the longest running, fastest growing midday sports show in all of Kansas City radio. And remember, Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. As Serta said, at about 40 minutes or so, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, ton of news, so you don't want to miss that. Ian Watt, and our secondary guru, will join us a little bit later on as well in the 1 o'clock hour. So the big thing is, and I'm itching to hear at 11:40, is if we get any news, right, Serta, on Tyreek Hill. If we get any news or anything closer of, well, Tyreek Hill will play, or he won't play. And that is a critical decision. I'm going to tell you right now. Like, in theory, this game is largely important. The Chiefs now are 4-1. The Texans are 3-2. I think both of those teams will win their division. I know the Colts came in here and did what they did, but I don't think they're a good football team or that good of a football team. I think they were very fortunate their game plan was going to work. Go look at what they did the previous week at home. They absolutely got stomped by the Raiders, dominated up front by the Raiders on both sides of the ball at home. So I don't think they're a very consistent football team, and I just don't think you're going to win a division with the quarterback play that they have. So I think both teams will win the division, and you can say, hey, this could be potentially for a bye. We feel very comfortable in saying that we think with New England's schedule and their skill level, they're going to get one of the byes. One, there's one of their better teams, and two, they always get a bye. The AFC East is really bad, as always. The Jets are a dumpster fire. The Dolphins aren't trying. And the Bills they have a really, really good defense, but they just aren't going to be able to score enough points, and they've already beaten them in Buffalo. So you feel like the Patriots are going to get a bye. You could say this is for the second bye. And generally, the bye is very important for most teams. If you look at the numbers, most of the teams that have gone to the Super Bowl are teams that get byes. It's like a 60-plus percentage rate that if you get a bye in the first round, you generally go to the Super Bowl. Those teams have gone to the Super Bowl more often than not. But we also know that 3 seeds, 4 seeds, 5 seeds go to the Super Bowl as well. And I told you this a couple of weeks. You want every advantage that you can get. Like, you want to be the number one seed. You'd much rather host the AFC Championship game at home than have to go to Gillette, New England. But you feel comfortable with this team, and especially with that dude you got under center, that you can go win a game anywhere. Like, you feel comfortable about that. Every other time in your life as a Chiefs fan, you've never felt comfortable that you've got the guy on your team where you can just go win anywhere. Well, you got that now. So where you play isn't as vital. It's important, but isn't nearly as vital as it has been in the past. So to me, if Tyreek Hill is not 100%, if he's 97%, 98%. Any risk that you could miss more time with a re-injury, and you got to take into account how he plays. Like, this is a guy that plays really one way. He is high intensity. He is going 100% balls to the wall. And you want to make sure, I believe, he should be 100% because that's the most important thing. Like, even if the worst case of – because the Chiefs aren't going to lose their division, right? The Raiders are coming at 3-2, but the Chargers are a mess, losing at home to the damn Broncos. Like, they're a mess. You've already won at Oakland, the team that's behind you. There's no worry there. The Chiefs are going to host a playoff game, and you already beat Baltimore, so you've got the upper leg on seeding ahead of them. Like, it's important. You want to win this game. But the more important thing is to have Tyreek Hill and make sure he's right. So if he's 96%, I'm not playing him. Because it's not as vital or a must that you get a bye and that you host the games at home. I think you feel all right if you host a game and then have to go to Houston in the divisional round. It's not ideal, but making sure that you feel fully comfortable that Tyreek Hill or any of the other injuries are at a place where they're going to be good, that to me is more important than winning this game and having the upper leg to get the second round bye. And I just want to reiterate, the bye is important, and I understand the importance. But you are fortunate enough to have a team, a coach, and more importantly, a dude under center where you feel confident that you can go and win three ball games.
Well, yeah, if you're not going to play Tyreek Hill this week, then I don't want to play him next week either because you got a quick turnaround on Thursday.
I'm just saying if he ain't 100%.
So I mean, if you're not going to play him, then I would just sit him the next two games because of that that added rest that you're going to get is super valuable. But, I mean, dropping a game against, you know, a fellow AFC opponent, I think, is important no matter what. And I think that those first-round buys, even if it doesn't give you home field advantage throughout the postseason, still matters a ton. And while they have the best quarterback in the NFL right now, I would still rather avoid going on the road because the history and statistics would say that you're much less likely to make it to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just said all that. Yeah, I agree with that assessment, but it's not vital. When you had Alex...
I think it is.
I don't think it's vital because I don't think you have Alex.
Like Eli Manning's one of the few people who has been reliable to go on the road and just win in the postseason.
Thank you for that point. If Eli could do it, you don't feel more comfortable with Pat and Andy Reid pulling that off? I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm not saying that's what you want. But I'm saying you feel much more comfortable. It's much more important that these guys that are injured, that they don't have a re-injury or that they're 100%. Like, if Tyreek is 93%, I don't think the game is important enough against the Texans to have him to come out if he's not 100% where there is any kind of chance of re-injury if you know how he plays. I understand the importance of it, but it's not as important when you have him. I watched. Go look at the run Aaron Rodgers had when they got to the Super Bowl. They didn't get a bye. Like, when you got great quarterbacks in their prime, it's not as important to do that. John Elway, he did it. He went three games. And Lord knows it, the Chiefs host in the divisional round a lot and have seen a lot of teams come in and beat them in the divisional round because they had better quarterback play. The ideal situation is that they do, and it'd be great and huge if they can go ahead and get the win without having to risk any. But I'm just saying, just understand the importance of the game. It is, if the Chiefs in the postseason were at the level that the Chiefs were to start the season, if they were healthy, them going into Houston, I got 100% confident with Bill O'Brien and company that they go and get a win in Houston in the playoffs. All right, your chance to get the last word, 913-576-7610. I want to, because we're hearing it, man. We just heard it from a caller who got the last word in the last segment, my guy Joe, and I appreciate you calling in and giving your opinion. I just disagree with it. He even called and said he'd rather have last year's defense back. I heard yesterday that on the drive, a texter say they just the one good thing this defense could do, they tore up by getting rid of Justin Houston and D Ford. The pass rush is the one thing they could do. And then I heard it yesterday on Colin Cowherd, where he said he had them drop from 2 or 1 to 8th in his power rankings. Now, to be fair, he said just this week and the injuries have a lot to do with it. But the first thing he said was, this team can't win a Super Bowl with this defense. I heard Fesco reiterate that this morning when I was driving in, that this team can't win a Super Bowl with this defense. That's a lie, in my opinion. Now, can this defense be the cause or a cause that they lose? I think the defense, to me, was the number one reason that they lost last year. Sure it can.
So they can again be the reason that they can't win.
They can be the reason they can't win. Of course. They can be. They can't. Dustin Colquitt could have 2 punts blocked and be the reason that they don't win.
But the defense would have a much bigger role than Dustin Colquitt.
I'm saying that anybody on the team could. And the defense could have a big role in losing it. They sure can. But don't tell me. I watched this team last year. This defense is better than that one, right? This defense is sitting in the rankings of what you said. We just have in the mid-20s. They're 25th right now. Like in the mid-20s, and I'm talking about this defense at the end of the year, Chris Jones is not thought to be out for the year. Like Chris Jones, your dominant player, will be there. This defense is better than last year's defense, and I would say when the Chiefs are going to be right, their offense is as good or better than last year's offense. And I'm telling you, I think the Patriots right now, I do think they'll make a move, but I think the Patriots right now, when you think about their center, which is a big move, is out for the year. They've got their left tackle problems. Their receiving core without Antonio Brown is different. They don't have Gronk. Their running game is not to where it has been and where it was last year. I think the Patriots are maybe at the exact level that they were last year. And I think the Chiefs' defense is better. And don't tell me they can't get to them rascals almost got there last year.
Wow.
With that defense, and that defense is worse. Don't tell me they can't get there with it. This is a different day now. They can sure enough get there.
But you're overlooking the circumstances that aren't just different for them this year, that are different for the team that they're inevitably going to face in an AFC championship game, which is the New England Patriots. Like, the reason I still think this defense is bad enough to where they can't make a Super Bowl again this year is because the Patriots are better than they were last year, in my opinion. The Patriots' defense is one of the 3 best units in all of football. I understand you can argue strength of schedule and they're playing a poor schedule so far this season, whatever. I get that. They've been destroying terrible teams. But their defense is legitimate. They have the greatest defensive-minded head coach in NFL history, and their offense has looked shaky. But the Patriots offense, we're not stupid. We're not going to fall for that. The Patriots offense can turn it up whenever they feel like turning it up. And they will come the postseason because they do that every single year. I don't think that I've seen anything from this Chiefs team to make me confident that you're going to get a different outcome from what you saw last season.
Yeah, and last year's outcome, for a lot of reasons, as bad as that defense was, should have resulted with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. A lot of it. Like, we all know about the offside stuff. We all know about other things that Chris Jones, phantom call, the drop touchdown passes, the missed throws that Pat had. With all that, listen, I'm going to tell you what right now. I think the Patriots defense is really good. And you're right. They have one of the 3 best units in football. But when the Kansas City Chiefs are right, they have the best unit in football. And at the end of the year, I believe they're going to be healthy and healthy enough to where they're going to have their parts. And I don't think even the Patriots can hold down the Chiefs enough. I watched them last year. They didn't hold them down enough. I don't even think Bill Belichick and the Patriots can hold them down enough that they're not going to do like when the Chiefs are completely right. Like, the best to me the Patriots could do is what the Lions did to them. And that's 27 points, like at best. But I still think if they're right, like they did last year, they put up over 30 both times against them, right? Like, I don't think that there is any defense that's going to stop the Chiefs. And the defense can be, right? It can be. But don't tell me they can't win or get to the Super Bowl with this defense, because this defense is better than it was last year. And many people, and you can't argue, say that the Chiefs should have got there last year. Now, it's got to get, you would hope that it improves, but you get Chris Jones back into the end of the year, and that defense, hell yeah, with that offense, yes, they can get there.
I just haven't seen anything from the defense that makes me confident that they can. I haven't been impressed with Spags at all. I haven't been impressed with what they've done. Like, I haven't been impressed with any of the pieces, really. Like, Tyrann Mathieu's starting to come on a little bit, but outside of that, I haven't been impressed with any member of this defense, and now they just lost their best member.
But when their best member, which will be at the end of the year, most likely, nothing's 100%, but Chris Jones will be there at the end of the year. You don't think this defense is better than the defense last year?
No.
Okay, I just can't. You
literally can't stop the run to save your lives.
But you don't think overall this defense is better than last year?
No,
you really sit here and believe that?
No, Spags hasn't done anything to impress me whatsoever.
I mean, the numbers say they're better than last year's defense.
Like four spots, five spots?
Which is everything that everyone said.
That's still not good enough to beat the Patriots.
Which is everything that everyone said. Even their secondary is... Their secondary is so much better.
Okay, that's good enough to beat last year's Patriots team. That's not good enough to beat this year's Patriots team.
And see, I think that's where I think the Patriots team is better. It's better defensively, far better defensively than it was last year. But I don't think defenses are going to stop Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team when they're right. I don't think that. Now, offensively, they seem to be very much the same, and you could argue worse, because they ran the football at a high level last year. They're not doing that right now. They're not doing that right now. Like, like I said, they can be the cause, sure as hell. But don't tell me, after I watched last year's defense, that this year's defense, with this year's offense, when they're right, can't get there. I think those are lies. Those are lies. 913-576-7610. If you want to get the last word in on this, you're more than welcome. I want to get to, we generally at this time have our college football challenges. Vern, I believe, on his honeymoon, he's going to say he forgot which team he's picking. He's reeling right now. He's nervous. I have a lead right now in the college football challenge. Now, I'll be honest with you, neither one of us have been very, very good here recently. Both of our games we picked last week with TCU and Eastern Michigan wasn't even anywhere close. I mean, nothing close. I mean, both teams just got the hell kicked out of them. And it wasn't close. But if you've missed it,
it's time for Show and Vern's College Football Challenge.
Okay. Well, we don't have a challenge today, Clarida, because it's...
What are you talking about? You might as well play the music.
I'm just telling you right now. He's reeling. If you don't know it, if he loses, he has to eat mayonnaise, and he absolutely despises mayonnaise. And I'm going to put so much mayo on his chicken sandwich... It's going to taste like a mayo sandwich. And if I lose, I've only had, I think, four people cut my hair in my entire life. I got to go to Great Clips. And that's a big deal for people in the black community to have just somebody that you ain't never seen cut your hair before. I got to go to Great Clips or Lady Jane's or whatever to get my hair cut by just some random person. But he's ducking it. Like, I'm about to just start picking easy games so I don't lose this. But next week we'll be back on it. Binkley, he breaks down our picks. Binkley will be back to break down our picks next week. But we will have College Football Challenge coming back next week. All right, a couple of phone lines open. 913-576-7610. If you want to get the last word, you can do that. Hey, man, sir, I think I'm getting old, man. I've just had a couple of things happen here recently. I don't know, feel like since I've turned 35, I've really just, like, been into grilling, really into my yard. And then yesterday, I didn't know that I could get this mad about something, but I was walking my dog, Max, and I got so mad watching this kid cut his parents' grass. I could just tell, Serta, he didn't give a damn. He wasn't staying in no lines. He was basically just trying to get it cut before dark. Just running back and forth. He's not, I mean, he just cut across one time, and I mean, it's just going to look terrible. He didn't give it, like, I got so angry when I watched it, I wanted to push him down and just cut it myself. And I feel like I'm getting old because I know I did that when I was his age. I know I didn't give a rip about really the yard and how it looked. I just tried to get it done. Man, he didn't have no straight lines. None. And he didn't care. And I mean, it made me so mad. I just feel like I'm getting old. I can't watch kids cut grass no more. Because it made, like, I almost went home.
I don't know why you would get mad if it's not your yard.
But I know his parents are hot. And it, I almost went home and went off on a little show who's not able to cut grass. But it just made me think, I wish you would do this to my yard whenever I allow you to cut grass. It made me not ever want to allow him to cut grass now, to cut my yard. I mean, it was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like, care. I know I did it when I was 17, but man. I want to take this moment to apologize to Mama Show right now for just not giving a rip about cutting your grass. And my thought was, let me just get this thing done as fast as possible. Oh, if you would have saw those lines from that kid. He just did not give two rips. Cole and Independence, you get the last word. Go ahead, Cole.
Just as far as the defense goes, over the years with the defenses we've had, I mean, this is probably one of the worst. As far as Spags goes, he must always just have diarrhea because he can't stop the runs.
Felt real good about that one, didn't you, Cole?
I felt really good about that one. I said that Sunday night. with what we have, we got pushed around by an Indianapolis team that was missing pieces but still a solid team. And if we think we're going to get the Super Bowl with this defense, it's just not.
So you don't think so? Just think about the entirety of the team and where the team will be in December and January. And think about last year. Do you think this defense is worse than last year's defense? Really remember last year's defense, Cole. You think it's worse?
We had D, and you had Justin Houston on each side, and we were getting to the quarterback. And now we have Jones, who can get there, but, he's out and injured. We don't know what's going to happen with that. And then you have Frank Clark, we went out and spent all this money on, who's just looked like
he's getting paid
to basically be there.
I get that, Cole, but I appreciate the call, Cole. I'm just talking about when they're right. Like, Chris Jones is out of – yeah, the defense is much worse. He's your playmaker. Chris Jones is better than he was last year. I believe Chris Jones will be there at the end of the year. Because I wasn't hearing this last week when they was winning. I mean, the defense, you could argue they won the game against the Lions last week. The secondary is so much better, it's not even close. It's not even close. All right, Spencer in Riverside, you get the last word. Go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, I think our defense is better this year. Not leaps and bounds better, but when it comes down to it, the most important stat is points given up, and we're not giving up as many points as last year. Now, the Patriots, I think people are making mountains out of molehills with that, because it's like, I can't think of the word they used on the movie Clueless, but they're like that chick that looks good from far away but ugly up close. I think we'll be singing a different tune about them, at the end of the season, because they played, Ben Roethlisberger for three quarters. And then the rest has been Division II quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Spencer, they've got a track record. I mean, I think the Patriots are going to be there. That's going to be a tall order. I'm just saying, I watched the Chiefs last year play against that team. Man, their offense is better than last year when they played the Patriots. And I think their defense is better. So I just to say that they can't get to the Super Bowl and win it with this defense, I think is inaccurate.
No, I think we can get to the Super Bowl and win with our defense. I think our secondary is better. And what the guy said before about D-Ford and Justin Houston, we were in top five in sacks last year? And that's
number one.
Absolutely nothing. Okay, number one.
Yeah.
And it did nothing. It did absolutely nothing. So,
yeah.
Yes, it's important to get to the quarterback, but I think we're better off this year with the squad that we have.
I appreciate the call. No, this defense would be something else if D-Ford was here and Frank wouldn't. It would be much better. You'd have had a first-round pick, another second-round pick that have added to this defense. But even with what you got right now, man, the coaching is just enough. Like, guys, remember Bob. Remember the two most important plays against the Chargers. Bob said, D. Ford, Justin Houston, I want you in coverage, baby, not rushing Phillip Rivers. All right, coming up, your chance to win $1,000. And remember, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes coming up later on in the next segment right here live. We will carry it live. A lot of news, so you don't want to miss that. That's Nick.
Show and Burn. Brought to you.
Welcome back to Show and Vern. 25 minutes of uninterrupted sports entertainment starts right now.
All right, it's that time. Your chance to win $1,000. So listen up right now. All right, text the word basketball. Basketball to 72881. That's basketball. BASKETBALL. Basketball to 72881. And you could have the opportunity to win $1,000 and be the next winner in our national cash contest. That's basketball to 72881. Remember, hey, right here, 610 Sports Radio is the only radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. $8,000 each weekday. All you got to do is just listen at the 30s, like right now at 11:30, at the 30s from 9 to 5, and you get your chance to be able to be a winner. Remember, complete rules and the rest of information is at 610sports.com. Basketball, 72881. I think it's been sort of really amazing, amazing to see the growth from Patrick Mahomes and how fast. That's the amazing thing. You're like, man, you're seeing him do stuff at 24 that it's just like unbelievable that the maturity level on the field and also off it in everything he does. And we see that with his age, and you're just like, my goodness, Pat. Like, this is why you're, like, so special. It's like LeBron stuff, how young he was when he did that. He did something after the game Sunday that was beyond his years. And I think there are going to be some people who believe that I am reading too much into this, but I don't. I've seen... This is very savvy what he did in his press conference Sunday. I've seen Michael Jordan do this. It took him years, though, to get to this point. I've seen LeBron do this. It took him years to get to this point. I've seen Tom Brady do this. Hell, Tom Brady just did it this week, but it took him a while to have the hog to do it. Phil Jackson, the great NBA coach for the Bulls and Lakers, if you all have heard of him, the Bulls and Lakers. He used to do this. So many great players do this, and that's use the media in a sly way, in a savvy way, using the media to call out their team. And you generally see guys when they're at a place of comfort where they're a veteran down the line that comes to the feeling of being able to pull this off. But I want you to listen to what Pat said after the game Sunday. And this, to me, was him using the media, using the method of LeBron does this, the method that Jordan does, Brady does, using this method. Listen to this. This is a message to his team.
They played good defense. I mean, they played man coverage. They rushed with four people, and they found ways to get pressure and to cover long enough. And so for us, I mean, Detroit did it last week. New England did it in the playoffs. I mean, we're gonna have to beat man coverage at the end of the day, and we got the guys to do it. So now it's about just going out there and executing whenever teams present it to us.
Now, honestly, if you watch it, you know they're not just playing lone man coverage, right, Serta? It's man up tight, but then they have safeties and people with help on both sides of the field because they're only rushing four with both sides of the field to help those guys. But the narrative has been they can't beat man coverage, and they haven't been able to beat it right off the line of scrimmage. Pat said, at some point, y'all, I'm back here. I'm going to get you the ball. We're supposed to be making plays, Mecole Hardman. We're supposed to be making plays, DeMarcus Robinson. Sammy, when you were in there last week against Detroit. Travis. Really not as much Travis because he's getting double-teamed, but a little bit to Travis because you kept dropping the ball Sunday. At some point, y'all got to go make a play. We got to be able to beat man coverage. Pat is somebody who, watch, he'll be on here in about 20 minutes or so. He's not going to say anything. Pat never does. He chooses his words very correctly. We've talked about it, and it's smart. He has got the quarterback speech thing mastered. We ain't going to give you nothing. But we saw Sunday he chose his words very, very carefully. Let you know, yes, there is a blueprint teams are trying to do to it. And at some point, y'all got to beat man coverage. And I think it's very savvy. Now, I think there are some people who might look at this and say, hold on, young buck. This is only your second year starting. This is only your third year. It took a while for Brady started to do this. It took a while for, but this is savvy right here. He's putting it on record. Y'all got to go beat man coverage. Go make a play. No excuses. At some point, we got to go beat man coverage. And I think it is just really another step, sort of, to me, of Patrick Mahomes showing his age beyond his years and how he is approaching things. We've seen him confront players on the field at this age, and now he is pulling a Phil Jackson and he's pulling a Michael Jordan and LeBron and just challenging his team through the media. Challenging his team through the media. It's crazy where this cat is.
And we did, I think he was talking about Justin Houston in that post-game press conference where he mentioned, like, you know, Houston was a great leader in this locker room, and he's kind of one of the guys who helped me learn how to be a leader. Like, he knows that even at 24 years old, he runs the show now. Like, that is his football team.
But not just it's his football team, but he's using all of the crafty things that players that understand this is my team do. Like, and I'm sure there's some people listening who either, one, think that, oh, Ron, you're reaching and you're looking too much into this, or two, that, hey, man, I love it. Yeah, call their asses out. Or three, man, you're too young to be doing this. You need to focus on you because you've missed some passes too. But I don't got a problem with it because, I mean, he is it. He is that guy. And if he's got the confidence and the awareness to understand this is my group and this is a way that I can get to people, I'm surprised he didn't say nothing about the offensive line as a little, just a little quick shot in there. Like, it's crazy where his mind goes. These are, man, we didn't see Brady doing this stuff for years. Brady did it this week. Brady called out his offense for not being consistent this week. Watch these cats go play their hearts out for him. I bet you they beat man coverage this week. I bet you they beat man coverage this week. That's what I'm talking about. He inspires you. Hell, I'm inspired right now by Pat. I'm about to crush this next 5 minutes because I'm inspired by Pat. I think we've reached, because sample size matters, right? I want to transition here to Frank. I think sample size matters, right? And I think we've reached a point where it's five games in, and I think we can start to pose the thoughts and questions differently about Frank Clark than we did at the start of the year or even up to this point. Because my narrative, no matter what it is that you all may misconstrue of it, my narrative about Frank Clark is he hasn't played up to the level of Frank Clark. He hasn't played up to the level of what he has been, and that's been one of the most disruptive defensive players in football. He has been a top 10 pass rusher over the last couple of years. Nearly the same amount of sacks as Khalil Mack. He just hasn't played to that level. I believe he is a player that – I have believed he is a player that's at that level. He just hadn't shown it yet. But now I think we've reached a point where a big enough sample size, sort of, where we have to ask ourselves the question, is Frank a Rolls Royce or is Frank really a Chrysler 300? Is Frank a Genesis that's made by Hyundai, or is he really a Jag? Or is he a Jag? Like, which one is it? Because you know those cars. That, if you go look at that thing, go look at that Hyundai Genesis. And go look at that. Remember when Chrysler 300s first came out? Go look at those things. Just pass by. They may trick you into thinking, man, that's a Rolls Royce. Or that's a Jaguar. Man, that Genesis.
It's a really nice car for me.
That Genesis, but that if you're not looking at it, if you just catch it and just walk past and see the front of it, that Genesis looks like a Jag.
And I drive an Acura. My car's pretty nice.
They can look like it. And I think it is real to question is which one is he? Because coming into it, the year, I thought, oh, yeah, he's a Jag. At 25, getting older and what his production, he's a Jag. He's a Rolls Royce. But now that we've got five games in, I think it's a real question. I'm not saying you have to have the answer to it, but I think it is a real question of, is he really what he was? Or is he a Chrysler 300 or a Genesis that was just driven by really, really good drivers? Was he that and Pete Carroll just a hell of a driver that he can trick you into making you think it's something else?
I've seen a lot of clips of him going one-on-one in that Lions game this week. He was just getting nothing. And it doesn't look like he's got more than one move. Like, he's got a spin move, and he's not powerful enough to straight-up bull rush people.
I think it's a fair question and conversation to have. We've gotten enough sample size. Have we just, and everyone, and I don't think it is just the Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs, if you want to push the blame to them right now because you believe teams should understand it, and we all said it was something about the fact that why Seattle would let a player go at that age, at that position. But I think it's a real conversation to have. Like, maybe he is not what we thought he was. And not just he's just not playing well. Maybe he was just a Chrysler 300 masquerading and looking like a Rolls Royce. Hell, sometimes, man, when I look at my car from the back end, sometimes I think it's a Lexus. It's a Toyota. But sometimes I think it's a Lexus. Till I get in that puppy, I'm like, oh, no, this ain't no Lexus. Like, I think it's a fair question to have that conversation. Because I don't think you give up on him or anything. But, like, this sample size, Serta, he's showing you that I'm just a really good, because like you said, Chrysler 300, that Genesis, that's a good car for you, isn't it? That's a good car. You could do some damage with that car. You could pick up some good tail with that car. You could do what you need to do with that car.
Yeah, I watched the Genesis halftime show.
You can drive it anywhere you want. It ain't no Jaguar though. Like, it, I mean, you're not getting the same type of tail with that car if it's a real Jag. But I think it's a real conversation to have. Is this cat what we thought he was? Because I thought it was unfair to say, well, Frank's just not that good and not as good as we thought he was. Well, nah, he's got a lot of tape. But I do think it is fair to question how much was that the culture he was under? How much was that Pete Carroll? How much was that Chris Richard guy who was there for some time? How much was that playing with Bob Wagner? How much was that playing with Earl Thomas? How much was that the surrounding parts? Come on, that was a hell of an analogy. Come on now. That was a hell of an analogy. I'll get up and walk out on that one. That was fantastic, Serta. Come on now. That was good. I don't even think Vern could turn that one down.
I liked it.
Ask yourself that. Is he the Hyundai Genesis or a Jag? Come on now.
All right, I drive an Acura.
Okay, so now you're going to put that out there now? Are you going to put an Acura out there, huh?
All right, so I'm more of a Honda
man.
That was it.
That's one of my bets. Much better than the embarrassing moment that I had earlier. I had some good and some bad, all right? Stay right here. Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes coming up. Andy should be coming up at any moment. We will go right to Arrowhead as he speaks to the media, followed by Patrick Mahomes as he speaks to the media coming up. Yeah, someone texted in, Toyota makes Lexus. Oh, I know they do. Don't mean it's a damn Lexus. I can tell you that right now. I've gotten into a Lexus. I drive a Toyota. Ain't no damn Lexus. There's a difference. Now, listen, I love my car. It gets me everywhere I need to go, and I can do it. Nice, man. I got what I can. It ain't no Lexus, though. It sure as hell ain't no Lexus, though. This embarrassing moment. Do you think this emoji story I told you about earlier is embarrassing for me? Do you think it's embarrassing, or do you think many people listening right now will understand it?
Yes, but I also don't think you're old enough for this to be the case.
You're right.
If you were 45, 50 years old, I wouldn't be shocked by it at all.
I emptied my heart out and became vulnerable to Steve, and he laughed in my face, which I'm sure many of you will right now. But I told him, I said, man, I just did not understand or couldn't figure out how on emojis to make my emoji black. Like the thumbs up or the okay or great or thumbs down or whatever. I couldn't figure out how to make them bad boys black. And every time I sent it, they were, you know, they were white thumbs up or something like that. Or white. I just like, and I would see people send theirs back to me and theirs would be black. I'm like, how the hell they do it? But I'm too prideful to try to ask somebody how you do it. And finally, I sent one to Mrs. Show. And she was just like, why are you sending me a white hand thumbs up? Why don't you turn it black? I said, I don't know how. And she said, you idiot, just hold it down. And I held it down. I was like, this is how you do it.
I don't know if it's the case on Androids, especially yours, because it's not a real phone. But on my iPhone, once I change the color, that's just the color of the emoji from then on out.
I did not understand how to do it. I don't know. How many? Is anyone else sitting here? Is anyone else sitting right here? Or am I the only one? Is anyone sitting right now listening, Show and Vern family, saying to themselves, damn, I didn't know either.
Like,
is that what you do?
My aunt sends me texts all the time.
How old's your aunt?
And she's in her 50s. But she's very Mexican and very brown, and she sends me the white emoji all the time because I don't think she knows how to do it. But I understand that with her. Like, she just learned what emojis were, like, in the last couple of years, and she thinks they're the greatest thing ever, so she uses them all the time, even when they don't make sense.
I know what emojis...
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.